All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton, and our next guest on the show today is Karen Kotowski. She used to be a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Air Force, worked in the Pentagon. It was her boss was that guy Bill Lutie I was just telling you about, who lied us into war and is lately has been briefing Rick Perry on how the world works. Welcome to the show, Karen. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. I did not realize Bill Lutie was briefing Rick Perry. This is really scary.
Yeah. What I read was that I guess he asked Don Rumsfeld, who should I talk to? And Rumsfeld sent him to Fife and Lutie.
Oh, my goodness.
And then I think it was Eli Lake in the Washington Times, although I may have my footnote wrong on which report it was that I read that said he'd spent hours and hours talking with Douglas Fife.
Oh, my goodness.
So
Rick Perry did?
Yeah, Rick Perry.
Oh, my God. And he didn't get sick to his stomach listening to that idiot?
I don't know. I guess he was looking up to a guy in a mentor position because Rick Perry ain't so bright himself.
He doesn't. He looks like a tool, but it's unfortunate.
Let me tell the people that you also write for LouRockwell.com and that you're running for Congress in Virginia in the Shenandoah Valley. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. I'm running as a Republican in our Republican primary. We have a 20-year incumbent. He's a rhino, pro-Patriot Act, pro-war, you know, those kinds of things. So he's somewhat conservative in other things, but he does like to regulate. So basically he's as good as having a Democrat. So we're going to try to, and I hate to insult Democrats that way and do the party thing, but around here everybody's a Republican. And so what we have is basically not a representative that we can use. So I'm trying to challenge him, and it's, you know, it's an uphill battle because they're so used to having this guy around. But, you know, we'll see how it goes. We're fighting him. We're making him angry. We're getting him worried. We're causing him to spend his money, and that's what we like.
Well, that's good. I mean, what kind of progress are you making? Given a lot of speeches and got a lot of volunteers
done,
and that kind of thing?
We're working on our volunteers, and I'll tell you, most of them at this point are, two categories. One, Tea Party organizations, and, of course, a third category, really, Ron Paul supporters. Because the Tea Party, you know, was originally Ron Paul's thing, but the Republicans in some ways, in some places, attempted to co-opt them. And here in the Shenandoah Valley, it's about half and half. About half of our Tea Parties are independent, and they welcome people of all members in all parties and stripes. If they're independent, you know, libertarian, conservative, Democrats that are disillusioned with Obama, all those types of people, the Tea Party, some of them welcome them. And then other of them are more like Republican groups. That say they like the Constitution, but you know this is where a lot of the support is coming from because they're very disillusioned by all those folks are disillusioned by what's happening in Washington and all that spending and borrowing. Ron Paul people, of course, libertarians I'm counting on and hoping for, although some of them are upset that I didn't run as a third party. And who's the other group? There was another group. Oh, well, disillusioned establishment Republicans within the party unit.
Yeah,
they're upset. I mean, come on. There's a whole lot. It's a wide range, and so we're working all those groups, and we're getting a lot of positive feedback. In fact, I went to two different fairs in the past couple of days. We're going to go to another one this week. We've got one of the big ones, but we talk to people there about, you know, what's on your mind, and you know, what do you think, what's going on, and they're very unhappy with. The direction of Washington. They're unhappy with their representation here, which, of course, is what I'm interested in. But they're also just tired. They're tired of Washington's antics.
Yeah. Well, of course, all the opinion polls coming out lately say that the congressional approval level is lower than ever. That they even did one, although I didn't really like the way they phrased the question. It seemed like they were asking the wrong thing. But something about consent of the governed is at an all-time low.
Oh,
I guess the question wasn't, do you consent? The question was, do you think everybody else does or not, or something, you know?
Yeah. Well, if you look at those numbers, that one was an interesting poll because it basically indicated that 67% feel for sure that they have not consented to what Washington is doing. And that's not just an anti-Obama sentiment. That's anti-Congress, too. You know, it's anti-Washington. So that's the majority. If we were actually, a majority that understood our power, our great, great power, just as being people who withhold our consent, you know, this country would be totally different. But we don't understand our power. We don't realize we're like little baby Superman. You know, we just don't know yet what our power is. But the power of the people is great. And if they're tired of Washington, they can change it. And it's not necessarily through the voting booth, but they can change it.
Well, I wonder about that. I wonder if your struggle is basically just to get the people to support you and vote for you, just like in the, you know, public school textbook,
mm-hmm.
or
mm-hmm.
whether you're up against, you know, the establishment and all of that. Because,
yeah,
I mean,
well,
especially as we go into this Ron Paul thing, especially just over the weekend, you know, he got second place
yeah,
in this thing, and yet
right.
they ignored
Wonderful.
Him all weekend.
No, by a hair he was second place.
Right, yeah.
And he didn't have to buy anybody
tickets. Yeah, and
sure.
that, what they say on TV, they didn't really explain why they thought this, but they just said he's got no chance on CNN, Roger Simon and the Politico said.
Huh.
Well, he's got no chance, and that's why we won't talk about him, because he just cannot win. It'll never happen.
Not
never
true.
Get the And it seemed like they were saying, because the people can't, even if they want him, they can't have him.
Well, now that, actually, from the establishment's point of view, that could be true, even if the people want Ron Paul. Someone who's honest, someone who is understands how government works, understands and loves the Constitution, will put power back in the hands of the states and the people, will take care of the elderly as we transition away from this crazy system that we have that is going to kill our young. It's already killing them. You know, this is the guy that people want, and it may be that the establishment is right when they say, we can't have what we want, okay? And that's fine. Let's interpret it that way and get angry. Because
right.
we're going to get what we want. We have every right to it. And we don't have to be spoon-fed these establishment characters. And, you know, Rick Perry is really a cartoon of what the Republicans have been about for the last, I don't know, 20, 25 years at least. I mean, he's just a caricature of everything wrong with the Republican Party. My sentiment, and I don't know how you thought about it, but when they put McCain up, you know, McCain, you remember how he placed in Iowa, he was like sixth or seventh. He was like a Herman Cain Herman Cain would be better than McCain, but he was like who's the last place guy down in Iowa? Who placed
Santorum, I think, right?
Yeah, Santorum. Okay, well, that would be a McCain showing. And yet McCain went on to become the Republican nominee because the party establishment wanted him. Now, McCain is despised. Here in the 6th District, he's despised. We have, you know, remember when he had this McCain Palin stickers, bumper stickers for people.
Uh-huh.
McCain was on the top. They cut McCain off and they just run around with Palin. That's what they do. They hate McCain. He's an establishment Republican's choice. He's a status quo guy. And the Republicans put him up there, but I believe they did it precisely to give the election to the Democrats. I mean, I think they thought, you know, we need to regroup. It's good to have an enemy. Let's put a Democrat up there. Plus, some of the Bush, the Bush spending. I mean, a lot of the people in the know, not just the smart guys we read about, you know, we read in Lou Rockwell and commodities trading and things like that, but the smart people in politics also knew the piper had to be paid with all this spending that Bush was running up, this deficit work. So, you know, better yet, you know, why not have a Democrat? I think they wanted a Democrat, and so, they decided that's how it would be. They would run a really lousy, campaign with McCain and Palin.
Well, not that they had much else to choose from. I mean, Tom Tancredo
and
Duncan Hunter.
They had Ron Paul then. They treat him just the way they do now.
Well,
but
sure.
This time it's different. See, this time is very different because Ron Paul has not changed his tune at all. But the 4 years or the 3 years intervening have proven everything he said was right. People became aware of him in the last race, so now they already know. There's no big learning curve. Now we're just expanding the base. You know, the learning curve is done, I think, in most ways. And this is why, to get back down to your question or the topic, this is why the media can't talk about it. It's out of their control already. This is the final, I mean, they can't even, he's got it. He has got the attention of the American people. He's the only one telling the truth up there, and it's very obvious.
Yeah,
and
who cares what CNN says? We have YouTube.
That's right, we have YouTube. Somebody likes what they see, they pass it around. And you know, I'll tell you, there's another related thing, and you guys
can
hear it.
Wait, we
got to
hold the related thing until we get back from this
break. Uh-oh, okay.
It's Karen Katowski, everybody. Go back and read her archives at LouRockwell.com. We'll be right back. All right, y'all, welcome back to the show. It's Anti-War Radio. I'm Scott Horton. I'm on the line with Karen Katowski, Pentagon whistleblower on the neocons who lied us into war with Iraq. Check out our archive at LouRockwell.com. For more information about that, also in Rumsfeld's shop at the American Conservative, the new Pentagon Papers at Salon.com, Soldier for the Truth in the LA Weekly, and a bunch of other great stuff like that. Just search around, you'll find it. I think if you spell it like it sounds, then Google will correct you and know who you're talking about. Also, she's running for Congress in Virginia. And I wanted to ask you, we're talking about your and Ron Paul's electoral prospects here. And I guess, you know, before I was an anarchist, I was a minarchist. And I used to think that, you know, the American people could control the Congress. I mean, there's 435 districts. And we can at least thank James Madison for the fact that really it's all about the House of Representatives. All taxation and appropriation must originate in the House. And impeachment can take place in the House of Representatives for not just the president, but any executive officers and judges too. And so maybe the little D democratic system can work. Maybe Ron Paul was an anomaly, but maybe we could actually fill the House of Representatives with people like him or people on the left, but of principle, people like Dennis Kucinich, somebody like that, and actually change the way things are done. What do you think?
Well,
I mean, you're running for Congress, so you kind of think so, right?
Well, yeah, and I'll tell you, the way I would see my role in Congress would first off, you know, I would not plan to be there for a long time because I don't particularly care for Washington, D.C. in any way, shape, or form. But the thing that I would be doing is communicating and legislating away from big government, you know, reducing federal power, eliminating federal regulations or drawing it back, reexamining stuff, and changing some of the processes by which they spend their money so easily. And one of the, you know, there's a lot of little things. Downsized D.C. has a great little group of three legislative proposals. First, they want the congressmen to read the bills. What a shocker that is. Okay, have them read the bills. Verify under oath that they have read the bill that they are signing. Okay, that's one. Number two, they need to write the bills. Okay, and they don't. That means the lobbyists can't write the bills for them. AIPAC cannot write the bills on foreign aid to Israel for them. Okay, they have to write it themselves with their staff or whatnot. And so put some, you know, and verify this. So there's that. And then the third part is if you vote on something, it has to be a single topic bit of legislation. If you want to vote on a military budget, you vote on a military budget. You don't throw a bunch of other legislation in there. And I don't know if you remember when Rand Paul in the Senate was trying to filibuster the Patriot Act extension because he wanted to get some amendments to it.
Mm-hmm.
The law that the Senate was actually voting on had nothing to do with the Patriot Act. When you looked for that, you had a really hard time finding what it was they were voting on because the Patriot Act was the fourth item that had been attached to this other bill that had nothing to do at all with the Patriot Act. So, you know, we need to have bills named properly and including only single topics, single subjects. None of this omnibus stuff. Make them make a decision each and every time and have it debated. So, you know, if you did things like that, if you cut the congressional pay, if you eliminated retirement programs for congressmen, that's just insane. The founders never thought of anything like that. They couldn't believe it. This is just insane. That should be eliminated. There should be no retirement. Healthcare should be whatever they decide privately to purchase for themselves. They're well paid enough, and they can certainly do that. So, you know, if you make Congress hard work, and if you make it kind of tough to do the things they want to do so easily, which is to pass lots and lots of legislation and to please lots and lots of donors and lots of lobbyists and big business and things like that, if you make it difficult, you won't have to vote in term limits. You know, one of the easy things people talk about, oh, term limits, we need to limit their terms. You don't realize they don't abide, the Congress abides by no laws. and they usually, right up front, exempt themselves from the laws that they do pass. Even the ones that apply to them, they ignore them. You know, they're not supposed to spend more than they have, you know, unless there's emergency. They're supposed to declare war before they send troops anywhere, but they don't do that. So do you think if we had a, you know, a term limit vote and it was a law, that they would abide by that? They would figure out ways to rotate in and out or make exemptions or grandfather everybody. Anyway, eliminate the pension program and you won't have a problem of people staying too long. They just won't do it.
Well, again, so, it all comes down to the people demanding it. I mean,
that's right. And the people have to demand it. They do that in a political, you know, if you have to have government, we've got one. The way it's set up is the people have to demand these things both directly and through their representatives. So if you had a representative up there working really hard to make some of these things happen. And you had maybe 40 or 50 of those guys, you wouldn't even need a majority. Because one of the big problems that Congress has is they got no backbone.
Are you making the empire a centerpiece of your campaign?
I'm not making the empire the centerpiece, but I am making bringing troops home and closing down military bases that we don't need. Okay, that's my minarchist approach to dealing with this stuff. Because empire, when you say the word empire here in the 6th District and a lot of places around the whole country, they don't associate that with America. They don't understand what our empire looks like. And they don't, if you tell them it's an empire, they say, well, that's a dirty word. It just sounds like something Lenin would say, you know, imperialism. And they don't think of it as something that we do. Because, you know, we actually in the 6th District don't even have, other than VA hospitals, we don't have any military bases here, which is great. We don't want them. But Virginia does, and there's a whole lot of sense that the military spends money and creates jobs. There's this huge sense there. So my approach is, end unconstitutional wars. Okay, that takes us out of a lot of them. Bring troops home where we don't need them. And that includes Pacific theater as well as the Asian theaters and the Near East, South Asia, you know, the Middle East. And, of course, other places that we are, South America. You know, people don't have any clue how much we got deployed down in South America, you know, trying to foster the drug war. I don't think we're fighting it. I think we're trying to foster it.
Yeah. Good point. That's certainly the effect of it.
Yeah. Now, I am not. I haven't actively given a particular topical speech on this or anything, but I'm pushing for agricultural hemp to be able to, you know, we should be able to farm that here in the valley, along with anything else, food freedom and farm freedom, all that. So that fits in with things that folks here are a little more in tune to. But I'm not saying end the empire in those words, because it doesn't mean anything to a lot of people. They don't realize, like you and I do, and like people that are really focused on our overseas policy. Now, one of the things people here, and I think around the country, they do realize we give away a lot of money overseas. So foreign aid, and that includes military aid. So I'm definitely advocating major, major reductions in foreign aid and military aid. And that impacts the growth of the empire. In fact, that would shrink the empire to some extent. So anyway, that's the approach I'm taking. You know, I think it's consistent with my, you know, I know it's consistent with what I believe. It's not 100% leap. It's more of a, it's not a baby step, but it's just a step in that direction. It's not radical, I guess you could say. I don't consider that position. You know, I don't consider closing down military bases that you don't need radical. Do you?
No, at all. A lot of going
no, that's
saying
not
the
radical.
Soviet
that's
Union fell
common,
apart
yes.
20 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. There was a woman, someone here, Republican, in one of the Republican meetings that we had, talking to my campaign manager. We'd handed out our brochures and some other information. And on that, one bit of information was things that I would do and included closing down unnecessary military bases. And she went up to the campaign manager and said, this is just bad. This is just wrong. She's going to close down all the military bases. And Lisa goes, well, I don't think she said, I don't think that's what's there. I don't think it's going to close down all of them. And so she went to it with the lady, and they looked at it. And Lisa says, no, she's going to close down unneeded and unnecessary military bases overseas. And I didn't even specifically say into the domestic arena, just overseas. And the woman was a little, you know, she calmed down a tiny bit, but her impression was, well, that's not right.
Yeah.
So anyway, this is the kind of thing we're dealing
she
with
said,
around the country.
I heard her. She said, close down all the unnecessary ones, and that includes all the ones around here.
Yeah. All right, well. I'll tell you. Now, speaking of that, though, and this is, I don't know how much, do we have a little, like a minute? Because I definitely want
to
bring
have
up something.
Yeah, you have one. Go ahead.
1 minute. Something that concerns me a great deal, have nothing to do with my campaign, but this argument, the debate point that was brought up, I think, by Santorum regarding the threat that Iran poses to the United States. There is no threat that it poses to the United States at all. Okay. However, this straw man is being pushed out by guys like Gluty and Feist, the neocon think tanks in D.C., the neocon candidates. I have gotten, I don't know how, 5-6 different emails from different conservative organizations into my email inbox telling me what a terrible risk and threat to this country Iran is. So that needs to be cleared up.
Yeah. Well, you're the one to do it. And well, especially with that platform, are you going to be able to debate this guy on TV?
Well, we're challenging him to do so. We're hoping to do so and challenge him to a series of debates.
Give us the website real quick, Karen.
KarenKotowski4Congress.com. Or
thanks.
Look us up on Facebook.